Ring-a-ding-ding. We're going to hear the bell again. Jimmy Cassidy at 56 years of age, thinking about a comeback. I wonder what Adam Pengelly thinks about that. We're going to try and chat with Jimmy. We've got a pretty crowded dance schedule, but we'll try and chat with him before we get off air at 9 o'clock. G'day, Adam Pengelly.
Morning, TK. Morning, Laurie. I'm trying to work out if Pumper's feeding him about this, TK.
Yeah, well, that's what I've texted him. I don't know whether he's up yet. I'm just Are you really doing this?
He might be in the sauna.
he might be in the sauna.
Well, he was doing the rounds of Media Street yesterday, wasn't he? He wasn't afraid to talk about it. So I'm tipping he's spoken to a couple of radio stations, a couple of journalists as well. So he wouldn't throw it out there if he wasn't at least semi-serious about this.
How hard do you reckon it'd be, Adam, to come back at his age?
It'd be difficult, extremely difficult, Laurie. But the one thing about Pumper is he always keeps himself in pretty good nick. I don't think weight's going to be too much of an issue for him, but it's just... He's been out of saddle for over three and a half years or something since his last race ride. I have those vivid memories of that Melbourne Cup he rode in 2015, which was one of his last race rides, and he was lucky to stay on his feet and go back to the jockeys room walking, given the interference that was caused by Frankie Dettori in that race and was won by Michelle Payne and Prince of Penzance. And I think even Pumper said after that Melbourne Cup carnival how lucky he was to still be on his feet, and he's thankful he's retiring with everything intact. And all of a sudden, more than three years down the line, he's talking about his chances of a comeback. So I think, Laurie, physically he'd be okay. Mentally, it might be a little bit of a challenge. But if he really wants to do it, well, then, you know, why not? But he is 56. He's going to need some support as well to get some decent rides. But hopefully you can get him on the air a bit later this morning.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to talk to Jimmy Cassidy a little bit later on this morning. But if he's mined and he's fit and he wants to do it, you're a long time retired. But it looks like we're going to have a very wet track for the Coolmore Classic, mate.
Yeah, it looks like this, doesn't it, Laurie? I'm just trying to check the track conditions this morning. It doesn't seem to be updated as yet on the Racing Australia website. I imagine they'd come through a little bit later today. I don't think they got as much rain out there at Rosehill and Parramatta yesterday as what we got sort of in the coastal areas. I think tomorrow is the really big concern, guys. I think they're pretty concerned between 20 and 40 mils for Rosehill. You don't want that rain on race day, TK. That's the biggest issue. So this Coolmore Classic is a fantastic race. I was trying to dig through the form there last night. The head was spinning a little bit. It looks a really good race. And I suppose from a narrative point of view, it's been a launching pad for so many jockeys in their careers winning their first Group 1. Just going back through the history, I think Corey Brown and Ty England, Cathy O'Hara, Linda Meekstam, and even Andrew Atkins last year have all won their first Group 1 in the Coolmore Classic. So it's been a pretty good race for some young jockeys. I am serious. The deserved favourite at this stage. She doesn't win. Well, good luck trying to find the winner, I reckon.
Golden Slipper hopes it's their last throw at the stumps in both, for the fillies and also for the colts and geldings.
Yeah, we're starting to get a bit more clarity on who's going to be in this Golden Slipper field on Saturday week. Okay, a lot of these colts and fillies trialled yesterday at Randwick. We saw Liar, the Blue Diamond winner, go around, Catch Me, Loving Gabby, Free of Debt, all up in Sydney having their final serious tune-ups for the Golden Slipper next week. And this Godolphin squad in the Slipper is just going to be amazing, isn't it? They're starting to go through their jockey bookings yesterday. How about these three to reel off to start off with? Huey Bowman's on microphone, James McDonald on Tenley, Karen McAvoy on Exhilarate, the Magic Millions winner. Then after that, they could have another three or four in the race as well. Obviously, a theory goes around in the Magic Knight. They've got Pinsack, who won the Black Opal last week. Also got Bivouac, who won the Lonro Stakes. And then you've got Immersement and Kia Meacher, just a little bit outside the top 16 at the moment. So then you throw in Liar for Anthony Freeman. It's scary how good this two-year-old squadron is from Godolphin at the moment.
What about tips tomorrow, mate? You done your wet form, obviously?
Yeah, I have, Laurie. I'm going to sort of hold fire a little bit till tomorrow until we see the exact track conditions. But one that I have had a bet on is race 5, number 12, Delarte in the Far Lap Stakes. Chris Waller actually has a favourite in this race and very elegant, the former Darren Weir filly, who comes up to Sydney. But I think the stablemate can knock her off. She was really good first up. And this is a race that Chris has used as a launching pad for a lot of his good fillies in recent years. Winx, Fox Play, Unforgotten have all come through this race in previous years. I think Zalate is a really nice filly. So around at $6.50, I'm happy to be with her.
$6.50 there. Race 5, number 12, is Adam Pengelly's best for the weekend. Keep an eye on the weather and the track condition, as Andrew Bensley will do right throughout tomorrow morning on Racing HQ. Thanks so much for that.
Thanks, boys. You enjoy your weekend.